Aloha and welcome to Amen Podcast, where we preach the good news of Jesus Christ and how it applies to everyday life. I'm Lukilani, your host, and I'm joined by my husband, Alex, who is sharing on responsibility. Responsibility is the ability to give a response. Christians have this supernatural ability to respond to God. We must take Him seriously. The more we know about God, the more we are empowered by the knowledge to give the correct response, which is obedience. Our obedience is our responsibility. In the words of Uncle Ben, with great power comes great responsibility, and Christians are held at a higher standard than unbelievers because Christians have been given much knowledge. And with that knowledge, much is required. In this episode, Alex will be preaching about Christian responsibility and how to respond to God. We'll be looking at Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 through 24. But before I read, if you would like to support this podcast, go to amenpodcast.com to keep us ad-free. And if this episode blesses you, make sure to rate, review, like, and subscribe. And please join me afterwards for a question and response time called After the Amen. Let's read. Then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you.
Amen. There's a difference between responsibility and repentance. I was watching this video of Joe Rogan talking about how we need to take care of ourselves. We need to get our health right. We need to get our mental health right. And he is just listing off a bunch of things that you can do to be healthy. And I thought, you know, the world is obsessed with responsibility. Mm-hmm. And responsibility and repentance are not the same thing. Mm-hmm. Repentance is our responsibility, but responsibility isn't always repentance. So taking care of yourself, getting healthy, eating better is responsibility. Taking your sins to God is repentance. Taking care of yourself is responsible. Taking your sins to God is repentance. There's a big difference, but every Christian has the responsibility of repenting. Now there's three things I want to talk to you about. First is the need, the problem, and the solution with being responsible. So for the first part, the need to be responsible is seen in this deeper need to stop faking. Look at verse 20 through 22. Then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it'll be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. Now, who are these cities Jesus is talking about, and why is he denouncing them? Denouncing means to defame or to rail at. It's what a football coach does to a member of the football team who's slacking off. You blankety blank, get up and run 10 miles. I can't believe you dropped that ball. He is railing at him, defaming him in front of everyone. That is what Jesus is doing to these cities, because these cities are the cities that he frequented. Mm. He went there a lot, and he did miracles in these towns. Jesus didn't go around the world traveling. You know, everything you can do doesn't mean you should do. Mm-hmm. Jesus could have went all over the world. He could have went to the moon and back. Jesus stayed in about a small radius of miles around Israel. He did not go outside of that. He had apostles and disciples whom he was going to send out to Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. But he himself restrained himself to his calling right in these small towns of Israel. But what they were doing is they were faking. They were faking. They saw these things Jesus were doing. They saw the works of God, but they weren't acting like they were important. They chose to fake. They could clearly see, but they were faking. The need to be responsible comes from the need to stop living fake. Why you want to be responsible as a person, why I want to be responsible. And because the kid's not really asleep, he's faking, he hears the parent. And so he has his eyes closed, mouth closed, acting like he's asleep with his arm stuck in the air, which would never happen if you really were asleep. Your arm would fall back down if you were knocked out. The parents know the kid is faking. The kid knows he's faking. Everyone knows he's faking. And yet they still won't wake up. There's a need for every Christian to stop faking. God sees you're faking. You are without excuse. You are responsible to get up and to go to your room and to repent. All of heaven can see you're faking. The angels can see you're faking. Everyone can see you're faking. When are you going to stop faking? Because James tells us in 4:17, to know what the right thing is and to not do it is sin. And God is going to hold you responsible for the sin that you knew you should have stopped doing, but you kept doing. It's bigger than you and me. It's bigger than what we want. It's bigger than what we feel we need at the moment. Repentance is an opportunity to return to God, to a place of freedom, to a place of power. Repentance is not about losing fun. It's about returning to a place of freedom. Now, the problem with responsibility is this problem with acting like everything's fine. Look at verse 23. And you, Capernaum, so notice Jesus calls out Capernaum separately than these other cities that he frequented. These are the cities he went to the most, but he sets apart Capernaum. You want to be set apart for your righteousness. You don't want to be set apart for your wickedness. Yeah. Jesus sets apart this town for their wickedness. He says, you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? No, you will be brought down to Hades. He's quoting Isaiah when Isaiah is talking about the great city of Babylon. Babylon is one of the most famous cities for wickedness and evil. And it's so funny that the movie Babylon just recently came out and it like tanked, you know, it's because it thought it was going to ascend to heaven in the ratings and the Oscars and everything. And it ended up tanking and did horrible in the box office.
Wow.
I love that because that's exactly what happened to Babylon. They said, I will ascend to the Most High in the book of Isaiah. They're going to be this great, beautiful city. We're going to extend our power to the heavens like Tower of Babel. Babylon fell. That's the great promise of the Old Testament. Babylon will fall. And it does. And Capernaum thought it was going to be great. All because, look at the great stuff happening in Capernaum. Jesus is living here. He's doing his miracles here. And yet Capernaum didn't repent. Jesus says it's going to be more bearable for Sodom in verse 24 than for Capernaum on the day of judgment because they would not repent. They saw Jesus's works and they didn't repent. Jesus has something called contingent knowledge because he's omniscient. What that all means is he knows what you would have done if the situation was different because he's all knowing.
Yeah.
So he says to Capernaum and Tyre and Sidon, if these other cities, these other evil cities, I mean, Chorazin to Bethsaida and Capernaum, if these other evil cities like Sodom, Tyre, Sidon, if they would have saw me do the miracles in their cities, they would have repented. He's not just guessing because he's all knowing. He has this thing called contingent knowledge. Parents kind of have it too. If I leave the door open in my house to the bathroom, my baby will crawl in there and put its face in the toilet. That's called contingent knowledge. I'm not guessing. I know he will do that. Jesus has even more contingent knowledge because he absolutely is all knowing. In a way, I'm still really kind of guessing based on previous behavior, but Jesus doesn't guess. He knows. He said, if I would have done the same works in Sodom, one of the most evil cities in the Old Testament, they would have repented. Tyre, Sidon would have repented, not only repented, but they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. What do those words mean? When someone was truly repentant, truly remorseful for their sin, they would put ashes on themselves and sackcloth, this really uncomfortable, like burly, scratchy fabric. And it was to show themselves and everyone else what they had done, and they were repenting from it. Meaning they would have repented in great humility if they would have saw the works of Jesus. So God can reveal himself to whoever he wants to reveal himself to. He does not owe us revelation. He does not owe us light. We're the ones in darkness. He does not owe us his light. He can shine his light on whom he wants to because he's God. But he will hold responsible those who have been given the light and do not act accordingly, are not responsible with the light that they've been given, are not responsible with their repentance.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to judge those who have been in the light, those who have knowledge of him, those who know about sin, know about the cross, know about the gospel, those of us who've been, have grown up in church. He's going to hold us more responsible for the knowledge that we've been given. We love to point fingers at the church and say, well, the church has done so many, you know, messed up things, and the church has hurt so many people, so we need to deconstruct. What did you expect the church to do? The church is a broken body of believers. The church is a messed up place. We're all messed up. We all make mistakes. We all do heinous things. So out of all the places that you're most likely going to get hurt, it's going to be in the church. I mean, think about the guys who even started the church. Paul went from murdering Christians to being an apostle. Matthew was a tax collector, one of the most heinous jobs you could have. There's something in the Bible called sanctification. It means we're all getting better by the grace of God. Mm-hmm. But we have to all get better together. When your body works out, runs, pushes up weights, does curls, whatever exercise it is you're doing, it hurts the body. You wake up sore. You walk a little bit different because these muscles are being torn. The only way to grow muscles is if you tear them. You know that? Muscles get bigger because they tear and they grow back bigger. The church is a body. The church is going to be a place where you get hurt. Why? There's a lot of tearing. There's a lot of pushing heavy things in the church because of our sin, because we're sinful.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen is our muscles are going to tear, but they're going to grow back stronger.
Mm. Yep.
The church is a place where you're going to get hurt. But if you get hurt and run, you're not built for this game. Christianity is like football. There's a lot of hurting and pushing and hitting. But it's a part of the game. You can't have the touchdown without being brought down to your knees. That's a part of Christianity. We want to share in God's glory. We got to share in Jesus' suffering. So instead of saying, I got to deconstruct. No, how about you deconstruct the idea of deconstructing? Get rid of that. And understand that Christianity is a painful sport. Christianity is not for the weak at heart. It's for women. It's for men, not for little tiny boys and girls. It calls us to a higher standard. The problem that we find with being responsible with our repentance is we like to tell ourselves, I'm fine. That's what Capernaum was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Capernaum was Jesus's hometown. Like he was living there doing his ministry, and they kept telling themselves, oh, we're fine. We're fine. Isn't that just Joseph's boy? Isn't that just Mary's boy? Oh yeah, look at what he did. That was really cool. But you know, we're really just fine. We're good. This is why we're not responsible with our repentance. We tell ourselves that we're fine. You're not fine. You're not fine. We have to stop lying to ourselves.
Yeah.
Because if we continue to tell ourselves we're fine every Sunday, if we leave church telling ourselves I'm fine, if we go to church telling ourselves I'm fine, he's not talking to me. The scripture is not talking to me. That podcast is not about me. That verse, that video is not about me. Mm. They are about you. They are about us.
Yes.
We can't allow our riches, our iPhones, our TVs, our cars, our money, the stuff that we have, our comfortability, the ability to buy new clothes, to cover ourselves up all the time. We can't allow any of that stuff to make us think that we're fine. You're not fine without God. Mm-hmm. Without God, you're fine, duh, with a D. And you will not be able to pay off your sin unless you go to Jesus and you say, Jesus, I've been fined and I'm not fine. And I need you to take my fine so I can really be fine. And he will. Gladly, he goes to the cross. Suffering, he goes to the cross. In agony, he goes to the cross to take away your fine. Mm-hmm. A solution is feeling that. Feeling that. In verse 24, when he says Sodom is going to be, that judgment is going to be more bearable for Sodom than for you, Capernaum. For them to hear that, these people who had seen Jesus frequent into his messages and his miracles, for them to hear that, to be compared to Sodom, you and I both know the story of Sodom. It's the only city in the Old Testament Jesus burned down completely because of their wickedness. They would have felt that. Repentance is about feeling something. Capernaum would have felt that blow to the heart when Jesus said this, because that's a solution. You have to feel it. You have to let yourself feel it by stop faking and telling yourself that you're fine. Laminar flow is this phenomenon that happens when water is moving so smoothly, it looks like it's still. It's amazing. Jesus is compared to water in the Bible. He calls himself the living water. And his ways are so smooth. His will is so perfect and consistent. Sometimes it looks like in your life, he's not moving. And you say, God, where are you? Why are you not moving? I can't understand what this means. But if you get close enough to the sensation of laminar flow, and you look closely, and you may even stick out your hand and touch it, and you feel the flow, you know it's moving. The whole time you thought it was still, it was frozen. But it was moving. God is not still. God is moving. What does Aslan and Lucy and Peter and Edmund and all the creatures of Narnia, what do they remember? Aslan is on the move. He's moving in your life. You're so far away, you can't feel his movement. But the solution to repentance is getting close enough to him to feel that he's still moving in your life. How is he moving? The way he's always moved, through salvation. The people of the New Testament should not have been surprised that a baby was born, Emmanuel, and his name was Jesus. Because Jesus means God is salvation. And all throughout the Old Testament, how did God move? He moved in the way of salvation. His salvation was smooth. His salvation was steady. His salvation was consistent from Genesis 3, when the first lamb was killed so that they could cover Adam and Eve from their sin, from their nakedness. He's always moved through salvation. From Genesis to Malachi, people thought Jesus was a fake so we could feel God. They thought the salvation of God in this so-called Messiah, Jesus, was fake so we could feel God. They called him a fake. They treated him like a fake. They crucified him like he was a fake so you and I could feel God. That's what Christ went through. God treated Jesus as if Jesus was saying, I'm fine without you, God. I don't need you. So we could feel God. That's what sinners say. It's what criminals say. It's what wicked people say. It's what Pharisees say, religious people say. People who are going to spend eternity in hell, they have said their whole life, I'm fine without you, God. Mm-hmm. Yet God treated Jesus as if that was what he was saying. And yet he lived and said the opposite. Jesus said, I don't do anything without the Father. Yeah. Me and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Every step he took, every breath he took was in God. Never stepped out of that. And yet God treated him as if he was saying, I'm fine without you. I don't need you. I'm good. Why? So you and I could feel God. You have to let yourself feel it by getting close enough to that flow and saying, okay, there's grace in this flow. There's mercy in this flow. There's salvation in this flow. Father, we thank you for the flow of your will. We pray that we would lean in close and feel it, what Christ has done for us. We would not fake. We would not lie to ourselves and tell ourselves that we're fine, because without you, we're not. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. This is the part of the episode called After the Amen, where we ask you a question to help you apply this message to your life. And today, I guess we don't have a question, but we just want to know what your amen is. I think some weeks we'll have a question, some weeks we'll just allow you to share what God is speaking through this message to you. And so, wow, I'm still trying to gather my thoughts because this was so good and there's just so much I could say, but I love this. I guess one thing that comes to mind first is your second point, the problem with being fine, and how I was just thinking about, like, when we tell ourselves we're fine, we kind of like numb ourselves to going into point through, like, feeling whether it is like the weight of our sin or even feeling in the opposite way, even feeling the grace and the mercy of the Lord and how like undeserving and just how that turns into like gratitude towards him. But specifically just like feeling the weight of our sin. And I was talking to some gals and they were like, and this has nothing to do with what you choose as a mother, but like we were talking about epidurals or doing natural. And someone was saying like how they are just too afraid not to get an epidural. And I was saying, for me, it's like the opposite. Like, I'm afraid of not being able to feel like what my body's doing. And I think that, like, I just thought of that illustration as you were saying how it's important to feel and like not numb ourselves out. Because when that happens, you're not able to like experience the pain and respond on your own. And so like when you get an epidural, which I didn't really even know this, but like when you get an epidural, you are completely numb from the waist down. And then someone has to tell you when to push. And based on like the readings, of like when you're having a contraction, you don't feel the contractions. And so someone else has to tell you how to do it. Again, this is not, whatever you choose is fine, but just for me personally, just thinking of, wow, like if I numb myself out spiritually, like I will not have the ability to respond on my own if I just allow myself for so long. And we see that in people's lives where they don't even feel the weight of their sin anymore.
Yeah, they can't.
Because they have numbed themselves out. And so that was just really encouraging and to me. And another thing that just stuck out was I was reading in one of the commentaries this week, and it said that the people in Jesus's hometown, they were proud of him, but they refused to live by his teachings.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that breaks my heart, because I do see that so much within Christianity. People are proud to claim Jesus, yet they refuse to live by his teaching. And I just don't want to be that type of Christian, you know, whether it's big or small. If I know that he is saying, don't do this or do this, that I need to respond and not just be like, oh, I'm proud of Jesus. I love him. I know the gospel. But if that is true, if you really feel that way deep in your heart, you will respond. You will take the responsibility of repentance and obedience. And so, this is just so good. And I know that this message will carry me through the week until the next one, but this is just such a heavy one. I'm excited to re-listen to it even after we share it with you guys.
Yeah. We'll hear it again at house church.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll probably be running around with the kids. But, the Spotify Wrapped came out this week. And so we've been getting a lot of attention on our Instagram and on our island too, because everyone's posting their Spotify Wrapped in the podcasts that they listen to throughout the year. They show up and people post it on their story and everyone's doing it, right? So even if you've listened to the episode or listened to one episode, it'll probably show up on your Spotify Wrapped. And so I've noticed that, like, we have a big Amen podcast sticker on our van, and I've noticed a lot of people like waving at us or staring at us at restaurants or stores more than normal this week. And like Lokilani was saying, like, to be proud of Jesus is not the same as obeying Jesus, you know? And this podcast is about the good news of Jesus. And I know a lot of you guys are very proud of our podcast and you're proud to be a part of the Amen community. But what our heart longs for is that you wouldn't just be proud of the gospel and proud of our podcast, but you'd be proud to follow Jesus in obedience. Mm-hmm. Because she was saying, I didn't know that. Like, a lot of people in Capernaum were proud. Like, yeah. Jesus comes from our town.
Yeah.
But they weren't obeying him.
No.
And I just know people
it's
that.
It's crazy as they refuse to.
They refuse.
Also, which and is, oof.
I know I have like my boys. I have some boys that like are like, oh yeah, I'm friends with Alex and Loke. Yeah. Like, I love their podcast. Yeah, Amen Podcast. They wear merch. They have stickers, but they do not follow Christ.
Yeah.
And that's not what I want.
No.
That's not what she wants. We want obedience.
You can forget about us. And if you're following Christ, I'd be more happy.
Yeah. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Mm-hmm. And we want you to follow us as we follow Christ. We don't want you to just be proud of the podcast. We're proud of it too. We love the podcast. It's great. It's taken a lot of consistency, a lot of hard work to get us here to do this. We love Spotify Wrapped Day is my favorite day of the year. I love it. Besides 4th of July. I love 4th of July. But we don't want you just to be proud of us, guys.
Yeah.
We want you to respond in obedience because that's your responsibility.
Mm.
And we love you. And we know there's freedom on the other side of obedience. Obedience.
So good.
We love you. AmenPodcast.com. Keep us ad-free. Like, subscribe, support. See you the next one.
Until then, go out and be the church.
Amen.